Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Police did find a 100-page document that he posted online before the shooting where he wrote about racist and anti-Semitic ideas. Now, authorities are investigating this attack as a hate crime, all while this community reels from this shooting.
I don't spend any time in the conspiracy area of the internet, 4chan and whatnot, or bumping around various websites. I've heard of replacement theory. I didn't know it was. So this is apparently what this evil, evil human being that killed all those people at a grocery store over the weekend believed in. Replacement theory, which is that the Jews are trying to replace everybody else for some reason?
Yes, by importing various other folk.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's essentially it. Mm-hmm. And... the fact that we even have to go to the media's fevered excitement over a hate crime proves that, proves the point I'm going to try to make ultimately, and that's that we're in a very weird place psychically as a country. I mean, for instance, the New York Times and most egregiously the Rolling Stone with a headline that Jack can hit you with again, but just absolutely sick, the idea that because that, excuse me, that theory in its kind of pure form is tangential to wanting to, for instance, have coherent immigration law.
Right.
Proves that anybody who asks for coherent immigration law is a dangerous lunatic who's probably going to grab a gun and shoot a bunch of poor, innocent black people in Buffalo, New York, which is absolutely an obscene connection to make.
Yeah, the Rolling Stone headline is, "The Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf. He's a mainstream Republican." Do you think, Rolling Stone, that that is lowering the temperature in America? No. No, it's not. Calling mainstream Republicans in league with a guy who did this? That is awful. That's an awful thing to do.
It absolutely is. And then, generally speaking, our communications infrastructure, which includes not only the media but education, will do the opposite when it comes to the woke stuff, the radical theory, the gender theory, the queer theory, the critical race theory stuff. In that, for instance, I was just reading that 39 of the top 50 medical schools in the country are teaching some form of woke race theory to the medical students, and 38 of those 39 are using books from utter crackpots like Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi. I mean, just complete race hatred spreading crackpots. They're not trying to help doctors understand why black people have poorer medical outcomes. They're teaching crackpot theory. Okay. And the media just absolutely ignores that. And the education infra or the communications infrastructure of the country, whatever you want to call it. And so you get to a point where everybody is, for their own purposes, throwing around this supercharged rhetoric. And you got the lunatics on the right. Get this kid's ear. And I guarantee this incredibly misguided, sick, turning out to be evil young man was taught over and over at his school that white people are evil, that you were born racist, that you were part of the racist problem. And if you don't think that sort of verbal beating drives people into the arms of extremists on the other side, you're just a fool. You don't know anything about human nature.
Well, it certainly sets up a dynamic of us against them.
Well, right. I mean, because on the right, the kid was told, you ought to be in our camp, and here are the reasons why. And the reasons why are horse crap, and they're lies. And again, they're tangential to something that's closer to the truth, but that's the way ideas work. But anyway, so he's recruited by the crazies on the right. Meanwhile, his very teachers in school may well have been saying, essentially, that the crazies on the right are correct. That unless you're with us over here on the woke theory, you're a violent, virulent racist. And so both sides are telling him he ought to be in that camp, or he is already in that camp. Where do you think that ends? as opposed to, for instance, call me nuts, but the classic civil rights narrative. We're all Americans. We all deserve all of our rights. We're all God's children. Discrimination is wrong. Race hatred in any direction is wrong. If a black person hates a Chinese person, that's awful. If a white person hates a Hispanic person, that's awful. On down the line. But no, no, again, our communications infrastructure has embraced to a large extent this what camp are you in narrative.
So I have to admit to being ignorant to the whole replacement theory thing. It's not something I've spent a lot of time on, but I taking in punditry over the weekend, particularly yesterday on the talk shows, today on cable news, I've heard a number of people say, and there is a cable news channel that's dedicated to supporting this theory. And in fact, one particular host who regularly espouses it, and I thought, okay. And then I was watching MSNBC today before I came into work, and them saying, you know, everybody's dancing around it. I'm just going to say it. It's Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson regularly espouses the replacement theory. He's the most watched news host in America, and he talks about this all the time. And I thought to myself, I watch Tucker Carlson every single night, and I've not heard him espouse this. So I'm asking this honestly. Mm-hmm. Does he? Has he? Because I don't. I watch Tucker every night. I don't watch the whole show. But I've never heard him say Jews are bringing in brown people to replace white people. Does he say that?
No. But he gets close enough that I understand where that accusation comes from. And here's the problem. Back to my reference to that's the way ideas work. We've talked about many times, you live in a small town in Iowa, very close-knit, everybody knows everybody. It's one of those situations where the teenagers behave because they know if they don't, you know, Mr. Jones over there is a good friend of your dad's, and your dad is going to find out exactly what you're doing, and so it's a close-knit community. And then for various economic reasons, business reasons, a plant opens or their workforce transitions, and now a third of your town speaks a different language. Usually Spanish. That's tough. That's a challenge in a lot of ways. It's really uncomfortable. It hurts the close-knittedness of your community. It's an enormous challenge for the schools. It's very expensive, blah, blah, blah. You can describe it in a lot of ways. Just expressing that can be called by the voices on the left replacement theory. Listen to Joe. Did you hear what he was just saying? He was saying that white people are threatened by brown people replacing them.
Yeah, see, now, I don't know if I can. I guess you're right. Like Tucker will point out regularly, he's the first person I've ever heard say the people that are allowing the borders to be the way they are, their neighborhoods aren't changing. Mm-hmm. Your neighborhood is changing. But that's and he's right about that. And it's crazy for anybody to try to pretend that if your neighborhood that you've lived in and you raised your kids there and your parents raised you there changes to a completely different kind of culture overnight, you're lying if you don't think that most people would hate that. And I don't care where you are in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. That seems like a long way from saying Jews are orchestrating this.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm driving at. You know, where you draw the line, it's like, what is hate speech? I would draw the line in a very different place than like a college snowflake would. So, you know, if Tucker talks about the elite are trying to import millions of immigrants by hook or by crook, then get them on the voting rolls, because they'll be a compliant electorate. That's close enough to quote unquote replacement theory that, you know, the New York Times says it is. So it's just a question of where you draw the line. But I absolutely, I love your point about no matter where in the world that sort of upheaval in a town. Can you imagine a bunch of American expats doing that to some, you know, formerly Incan village in Peru, right, or something like that? It'd be terrible. Another one you see all the time is so-called gentrification of neighborhoods. You got a bunch of people move in and the rents go up because it becomes a desirable neighborhood. Well, that's seen as a tragedy and practically a rape of the neighborhood. They call it gentrification, and it's awful. But if it happens in that little town in Iowa we're talking about, if those residents say, hey, this has really made me unhappy, they're racists and monsters. It's just, God, quit with the overheated rhetoric. Steve Hilton said some good stuff on The Next Revolution on the aforementioned Fox News last night. Place clip 34 there, Michael.
Everyone who loves America not only hates what happened in Buffalo yesterday afternoon, but should want to understand the reasons why. Of course, in the end, the murders are the responsibility of the individual who committed them. The gun didn't do it, the internet didn't do it, cable news didn't do it, the murderer did it. But of course, there's much more to it than that. How did we get to a point where an 18-year-old kid is so consumed by hate that he's determined to do something so evil? That does require us to ask questions about what's going wrong in our society with technology, in our political discourse.
Clearly.
Well, we've been talking about this for a long time. It's become perfectly acceptable to say on several of the cable news channels that white people are inherently racist. Mm-hmm. Just you're born that way, or it's in your genes, which is, by the way, the definition of racism. To saying that you're genetically built a certain way in terms of your point of view. I mean, that is absolutely right. But it's become perfectly acceptable. And you think that helps? Is not going to lead to more or get us closer to a race war of some sort? God dang it. I wish
Rolling Stone calling the racist murderer a mainstream Republican. That if you were to accept that on its face, that would mean you would be excused in doing anything against a mainstream Republican if you came across him. That's a would-be racial mass murderer. I mean, what wouldn't be excused?
Right.
No, it's just disgusting.
It really is. I'd be kind of interested in your response on the text line, just what you're thinking about all this. I almost said we should take calls, but I didn't lose my mind. Text line 415-295-KFTC. I sure hate how often we end up having these conversations about these shootings. It's unbelievable. The culture of that alone. Text line 415-295-KFTC. More on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show. Don't you wait up tonight, don't worry, I'll be fine. Baby, I'm driving, I don't wanna go.
I've wasted on you all of this time and all of this money. All of these sorries, I don't owe you honey. If all else goes wrong, baby, I'll be alright. Cause I got you, you and only. You're too good for me. I'm too bad to care. I'm too sad, lonely. I want you only.
Wow. I don't know that group, Silk Sonic. That sounds like straight out of the 70s. As does, I know Dan and Shay. This is from the Billboard Music Awards last night. That was a little montage. Dan and Shay, I know, because they're on the country station all the time. That we listen to, they could have been a giant act in the middle of the 70s as soft rock. They sound exactly like it. But the reason I brought this up, and I like Miranda Lambert's I Drunk and I Want to Go Home, I actually like that song, but Morgan Wallen performed last night, and he's the guy that got booted off of Saturday Night Live a couple of years ago. He's got a couple of great songs, including one that is my brother texts me about all the time. This might be my favorite song of all time. But Morgan Wallen had, remember, a video came out before he was going to be on Saturday Night Live of him dropping N-bombs, but in a playful sort of way, he's got a buddy he calls that, as a lot of people do, not as many white people as black people, but...
And they were hammered.
And for whatever reason, that came out, and so he couldn't be on Saturday Night Live. Well, last night, because he was performed on the Billboard Music Awards, there was an explosion in social media, like, to a real level of worth noting, over the fact that there was a racist shooting over the weekend, and now you're going to have the obvious racist Morgan Wallen on television. Once again, do you think that helps or hurts the whole possibility of violence around race issues? Acting like Morgan Wallace clearly is a racist because he has used the N-word. Not right. At a black person as a pejorative, but as a, you know, hey, dude sort of way.
Right. Yeah, well, you keep radicalizing moderate people, and you'll turn moderate people into radicals. I just think it's as simple as that. Speaking of radical, this is not acceptable behavior. I'm sorry it took this long to get to this story. Vancouver, Washington area Arby's restaurant. If you ever had one of their milkshakes there and thought it was a little off, you were right.
Oh, geez, I'm dreading this story.
Why?
Because the way you've teased it, and I don't trust your restraint today. You feel like your restraint is gone.
There may be some truth to that. Oh, I'll just read it to you. This is from a reputable local newspaper.
Okay.
Bellingham, Washington.
Well, then it's just
lovely part of the country, by the way.
You're merely reporting journalism as written.
Exactly. A child porn investigation. Oh, there's a good start.
Oh, boy.
Took another disgusting turn. Hasn't gotten any better, has it? When Vancouver police officers found a video of a man peeing in the milkshake mix at an Arby's restaurant, Washington authorities reported. The man, a night manager at the restaurant, told police he urinated in the milkshake mix for sexual gratification at least twice.
What?
Nobody seemed to be aware of it, other than him.
God dang it.
An Arby's spokesman said in a statement to the local TV station, "Seems fine with us. We don't understand what the hubbub is about." I kid. The Arby's spokesman actually said the alleged actions of the former franchised employee
do not
are
represent
abhorrent.
Arby's policies regarding milkshakes and urine. We think they're two completely separate beverages.
I wish you'd written the statement. Let's see. The alleged actions are abhorrent and unacceptable. We have taken immediate action with the franchise group who terminated the former employee and is fully cooperating with the authorities.
Well, most sexual kinks, I'd say two-thirds of them that I hear about, I think, okay, I could see why that, you know, trips your trigger. Doesn't me, but I could see it. Ones like that, it's like, what wires got crossed in your brain? Where urinating in someone else's milkshake turns you on sexually. I mean, that's just...
And just
what?
Knowing that somebody would at some point...
Oh, wow.
I mean...
Never let that person out if they go to jail.
And he's into child porn, which is not incidental to the story.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Wow.
So, Bill Maher on Friday night noticed how many cars get broken into in San Francisco and L.A., for instance, among other things on the way.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Have you heard of YouTube Brain? Apparently YouTube Brain is a thing. Says,
do tell.
Says Vice, who has done a study of this, so we'll talk about that coming up.
Oh, also the Hoover Institution with a brilliant bit of research and writing about, in spite of spending $1.1 billion, a certain city in our nation, which may or may not have a Golden Gate Bridge, has had a far, far worse outcome than various other cities in terms of bums and junkies, and how, gosh golly, and this thought had never occurred to me, except that we've been saying it for 20 years, if you make it as effortless as possible to be a bum, you get more bums.
Yeah, we realize you might be listening to a station in an area where you never see a street person, or you're living around where I live, or something similar, and you see street people every day of your life. Many. And their leavings, whether it's the stuff that comes out of them or their trash. Anyway, here's...
Well, I would put it, their takings and leavings.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't go to the store with a credit card and buy all that stuff.
Yeah, which brings us rather neatly to Mr. Maher.
Bill Maher, Friday night, talking a little bit about this.
As we head into the midterm election season, one issue that has risen to the top of voter concerns is a general feeling these days that the social order is breaking down, that there are no more safe spaces anywhere. Street crime, home invasions, carjacking, porch pirates, medical staff attacked at hospitals, incivility at sports arenas. The LA City Council voted that every homeless tent had to be removed from dozens of locations, yet Every freeway overpass still looks like history's saddest Coachella. The homeless are both preyed upon and, frankly, a concern that they will do God knows what.
Yeah, that's the worry. I was in an area yesterday, so we were going to this fabulous gluten-free bakery that exists, that is very well known, and nice, cool, like, you know, hipster, upscale kind of bars and coffee shops and stuff that have popped up in one little area, but it's just surrounded by encampments of just filth and scary people. And it's just weird. This didn't used to exist. When did this become okay? And, of course, sometimes these people come in and rob you blind, as Bill Maher goes on.
New thing in L.A. called follow-home robberies, where gang members stake out nice restaurants and then follow home the people who leave in expensive cars and force their way into their houses. That's why Paris Hilton now drives a 2009 PT Cruiser and eats a Chibaro. A day doesn't go by where you can't find video of the latest smash and grab robbery where thieves in broad daylight just smash the front windows of ritzy stores and take all the jewelry they can carry. There used to be shame in shoplifting, or at least some skill. Now criminals just brazenly walk out of Walgreens, again in broad daylight, with a trash bag full of aisle three. While the security guard just watches. They have to keep even the most mundane products all caged up. CVS isn't a store, it's a zoo for teeth whitening strips.
Yeah, one of the reasons we play this stuff is Bill Maher is a liberal lefty, has been his whole life, to the point of driving me crazy about various subjects, but he is in the vast mainstream of America that looks at that stuff and says, how is this happening? How is this happening and continuing? And what the hell is the world is upside down?
Right.
They're locking up my toothpaste.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you notice that. Even if you don't notice the other stuff, you go in and you want to buy razor blades or freaking toothpaste, and you got to get some 19-year-old with a bunch of keys to come unlock it for you because people are allowed to just walk in and steal it and walk out and nobody does anything. It's so crazy.
I had a friend, old buddy, visit, and we went to get a bottle to celebrate our visiting together, and all the good stuff was locked up. He came to California to visit, and he said, "Wow, that's too bad." I said, "Is that not like that where you're from?" He said, "No, they got the good stuff right on the shelf. Nobody's going to steal it. And if you tried to steal it, the manager would put your lights out."
Has there ever been a time in history anywhere in the world other than... I think you're probably right. I'll bet in the history of humankind, there's never been a situation where people could just walk into a shop and steal stuff. And everybody just said, "Well, what are you going to do? You know, between lawyers and lack of equity, I guess you just got to let them steal everything."
Yeah, nice experiment. You know, Bill Maher's shock and disappointment at what's going on. You know, I'm not going to kick somebody when they come over to my point of view. But, you know, I think, and this is an oversimplification, I admit it, but I think liberals, as they look at policies, try to figure out which makes them feel good and look noble, whereas conservatives generally ask, what will this lead to? What will happen? I happen to be a fan of the second mode of analysis, but what the hell do you think is going to happen if you decriminalize crime? If you remove the disincentives for bad behavior, what the hell do you think is going to happen?
Well, Chesa Boudin in San Francisco, the DA who's about to get recalled, his parents were some of the most radical people in modern American history. Mm-hmm. And he has their radical views, and he got elected to not prosecute crime. Anyway, that's why San Francisco is so bad.
San Francisco in the last few years has seen 11 Walgreens and 6 CVS stores just give up and close because that town seems simply beyond law, which is heartbreaking because I, like so many people, love that city. And I don't think it's corny to admit, yes, I left my heart in San Francisco. Also, my wallet and iPhone. Bay Area citizens have been complaining in recent years about all the human feces in the streets, but now the streets are full of something else. They call it San Francisco snow. It's glass, piles and piles of shattered glass everywhere from car windows being smashed. It's so routine to have this happen to any parked car that people purposefully leave the windows down and the glove compartment open so thieves can see there's nothing of value. Or they leave a note on the car politely assuring the thief that there's nothing worth stealing and please don't break the windows.
Yep. I know people who do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't park anywhere for 5 minutes without getting your windows smashed.
Yeah, my brother and his family transferred from one naval assignment to the other, decided to see the Golden Gate Bridge. They were parked there maybe 5 minutes when all their stuff was taken. And that area is teeming with human beings.
Yeah, middle of the day.
The gangs don't care.
Middle of the day and crowded.
Blazing sunshine, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You used to think, okay, middle of the day, people around, I can park my car. I'm okay. Nope. Nobody's going to do anything about it. They know nobody's going to do anything about it. Even if somebody did do something about it, there's nobody that's going to prosecute the crime. So, yeah.
Well, and call the cops and they'll react like you told them you have a headache. What do you want me to do about it? Unbelievable. And I'm not blaming the San Francisco PD, for instance. They got a Marxist lunatic as the prosecutor. So what the hell good is it going to do to arrest somebody? He's just stealing. The gang is just stealing because of systemic racism. Unbelievable. Oh, hey, speaking of San Francisco, again, great stuff from the Hoover Institution about all the money spent on quote-unquote homelessness in San Francisco and what it has wrought in comparison to some other places. We'll get to that before long. If you happen to miss it, you got to tune out or whatever. Grab the podcast later, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Yeah, we'll get to YouTube brain at some point, which is kind of an interesting phenomenon. If you've ever thought of being a YouTuber, if you've heard the stories of people making so much money doing that, apparently it warps your brain, according to Vice. Stay tuned for that.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Ground ball right side, sliding stop on the first! Praise the Jolly Roger and history! The Pirates are no hit, but win the game!
How did that happen?
Wow, I don't know exactly. I mean, I could picture a variety of scenarios, but wow.
The other team throws a no-hitter, but you win.
It's actually pretty interesting. I have the details right here if you'd like.
Briefly, sure.
They walked the first two batters of the inning. They call in a reliever. He walks another one. He hits into a fielder's choice, but one run scores. Doesn't count as a hit.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, there are all sorts of ways that could be that could happen, but man, the other guys had to be discouraged.
So there are different kind of brains you can get from social media or the internet, it says here, according to Vice. They're focusing on YouTubers. I gotta believe most people have at least briefly thought of the idea of having some sort of YouTube channel or something like that, because you hear about people making all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, I could review guitars or motorcycles or shoes or whatever. Or
yeah, I thought I was going to be rich, get rich being an Instagram influencer, but nobody wanted to look at my boobs.
I mostly notice musical lesson people who give music lessons, and if you're charismatic enough and good at it and everything like that, you can end up with millions of followers quickly and make apparently a lot of money. For years, digital creators have been talking about how they're lonely, they're burnt out, they're tossed aside by unfeeling algorithms and corporate bureaucracy, but Vice did a little studying on this and came up with something they're calling YouTube brain, compared to, for instance, Twitter brain, in which spending too much time on Twitter results in someone becoming argumentative and perpetually outraged. That sounds right.
That sounds wrong, and you're an idiot for saying it. Go on.
Or Instagram brain, which is image-obsessed and overly materialistic. Or TikTok brain, unquestionably devoted to the latest slang or trend before moving on to the next one. So you get obsessed with being on the front edge of whatever hipster thing is going on, so you don't fall behind. And those of you who are into that, it's pretty comfortable here on the other side, where you have no idea what the latest slang or trend is, and you just don't care. But YouTube brain, from the perspective of the YouTuber, is what happens when you are both creatively and financially subject to the whims of other people's attention spans for years at a time, weighed down by never-ending demand for more content on dwindling returns.
Wait, that's my life. Wait a minute. Our lives.
The YouTube celebrity pipeline typically looks like this. A creator might start out with a particular niche, gaming, makeup, daily vlogging, sketch comedy, instrument lessons, whatever.
Taxidermy, my famous channel.
When I was looking for a particular car, people who review cars, some of these people have millions of followers because they're really good at they're just regular people who drive cars and talk about them. And through their on-screen charisma, develop a following made up of fans who come less for, say, the games and more to feel as though they're hanging out with a friend. The people that are good at it make it feel like you're just watching a buddy. At this point, at least one of three things will happen. Either the creator will achieve either such a level of success that they'll no longer feel relatable to audiences and must reckon with their persona, which happens and makes you crazy. The creator will be subject to some level of cancellation for past actions. That happens to lots of them.
Oh, yeah.
Or the job will create such a pressure cooker environment that the creator quits altogether, but only for a while, vice found. For the most part, once a YouTuber reaches a certain level of success, they're a YouTuber for life. They just can't quit it. People leave it because it makes them insane and then find that they can't do anything else or relate to anything else in the same way. Then they go back to the pressure cooker misery that is being a YouTuber.
Wow.
That seems to be the cycle, according to Vice and studies of lots of people who've done this.
Wow.
They spend all their time looking at the data of, you know, how many men, how many women, what age group, how long do they watch, where do they tune out, you know, all that different sort of stuff. And it just makes you insane. But they get addicted to it on some level, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an old story. I mean, every performer understands that if you're going to hold on to your sanity, you can't have your soul be your popularity. Or how people, your success or wealth or whatever. If that is your self-image, well, that's a fragile thing, man. That's a bubble.
Mm.
But now we're seeing it instead of, you know, how many people were famous entertainers or successful entertainers not very long ago? A fairly limited number of folks. Now it's millions.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, regular people are just realizing, oh, the applause of the audience that gives me that high, sometimes it stops.
Yeah, and either you're drawn to it by the applause or the money, but yeah, it wasn't very long ago. You're going to become rich for your personality. You got to hop on a bus and go to L.A. and really, like, get a bolt of lightning winning the lottery ticket sort of thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's legit true. Everybody listening right now has as good a shot as anybody else of becoming a millionaire celebrity. If you own an iPhone or if you own a smartphone, you have as good a shot as anybody else. There's nothing barring you from doing it. And we got gazillions of celebrities making lots of money, and it's making a lot of them crazy. How about the fact that middle category was you start to get a little traction and somebody digs up something from your past that ruins you? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, it's easy for us to laugh about that because we haven't been posting our inner musings and party pictures and whatever the hell else since we were 12 years old.
I've never thought about that.
Please, I would not be here doing this now. Trust me when I say this. If everything I've said since I was a lad were known,
please. I've never thought about that for our own personal ability to make a living. So you're thinking if the whole smartphone social media thing had come maybe even 10 years earlier in our career, we'd be ruined. I think you might be right. I'm not sure we can do this job.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about my teenage years and like college years, although, you know, I was an idiot, but kind of your standard sort of idiot, not terribly ideological or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, just because, and we don't need to tell you folks about this, but something that was perfectly acceptable 15 years ago, and it was only mildly controversial a decade ago, now is as if you'd endorsed, you know, the return to slavery or the rise of zombie Hitler. I mean, it's just, there's certain people who are vicious enough and powerful enough will ruin you for it.
Yeah, well, see the inability to get hosts for the Oscars, for instance.
Oh, great example. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And everybody they looked to host the Oscars was as woke as everybody else. but because the standards change so quickly. And that's is there a more indefensible, poisonous, and idiotic stance than presentism? Presentism, where you judge people's speeches and actions of the past by today's standards. And I don't mean like modern standards. I mean today's standards as opposed to last week's standards.
Right. So at least run that through your mind if you're thinking, you know, I'm kind of funny and a bit attractive and I like to knit. And I'll bet I could show people how to knit and have a YouTube channel. Think about your past. What do you got out there on social media? Anything that if you started to get some traction, all of a sudden you got a million followers at, you know, hotknitter.net and they dig into your social media past and you made an untoward joke about gay marriage or something 15 years ago?
You're a shapely woman who can knit. Knit yourself some bikinis. You'll have 5 million Instagram followers by the end of the week.
Oh, jeez.
I wish I had a single damn thing I could do on a YouTube video. You know, I got a couple ideas.
You could, like, golf equipment. You could do that, like walking a dog.
I feel like the field's a little crowded at this point, though. I know you're a big guy, a big advocate of, you know, if you're first-ish in. Although I could do funny reviews.
First-ish in is important, but... it's not the best. I've watched enough of these. It's not the best ones that make it to the top. It's some sort of, like it said here, connection, where it feels like you're watching a friend tell you about this product.
I am intrigued. Question. Would this require effort?
Would I have to do anything?
Yeah, let's see. There's a hurdle.
Yeah, exactly. That will hold me back.
Yeah, it would take work. I already got a job.
Because you
job
are.
Takes plenty of effort.
You are.
I'm a man who craves leisure.
Exactly.
I do not attempt to deny that.
I like those different kind of brains. Twitter brain makes you become argumentative and perpetually outraged. Instagram brain, image obsessed and overly materialistic. Absolutely.
Ding. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's good stuff. So next hour of the show, hour three, if my counting is correct, we will delve into the Hoover Institution's appraisal of some of San Francisco's efforts to end its quote-unquote homelessness problem, which is almost entirely a drug junkie problem, and how incredibly ineffective it's been. That and some lighter fare as well. Oh, why'd Australia do so much better than the U.S. in terms of the COVID? If you miss it, get Armstrong and Getty on demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie. Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.